Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em slip, get every pick right, and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
And now for something completely different.
Hey, I'm a Hall of Famer. I'm in 3 Halls of Fame. For the young fans, they don't give a damn. They just give a damn about themselves and what they're hearing now. And I got no problem with those rules. I know the rules going in. I'm happy to play the game that way.
And when Ivan came off with that knee drop from the top rope and he pinned me, I thought that something happened. I couldn't hear a thing. You could have heard a pin drop in that arena. It touched me so deeply that when I went in the dressing room, I really felt depressed.
I'll tell you that, I'll tell you right to his face. And with Hogan and I, if he wanted to get in a real street fight with me, trust me, he would lose. And he knew it.
You know, that's the other thing. They give you the belt, and they're like, okay, you're in charge of me. I was like, what?
When you mentioned a guy like Harley Race, that kind of legendary status, it's obvious why people would get upset.
As far as I'm concerned, Roddy Piper was not a wrestler. He wasn't even a good worker. If he had to go out and work his way to the top and not have good friends like Jim Barnett. I mean, I'm not saying he's not a good guy. He's just not a tough guy.
Bro, I swear to you, I don't have an ego. Like, I don't give a crap. That stuff is not important to me. People don't know me. They have no idea of who I am. They know of me as being a fictional character that they saw on TV.
People didn't understand that, you know, the guy they saw in the ring that happened to be using his real name and happened to actually be the president of the company, they really believed that that guy that they loved to hate was actually a pretty decent guy. And I think many people have the perception that I really was that character.
Hello and welcome to the two-man power trip of wrestling. I'm your host, JP John Paz. With me, returning guest to the show, he's the NWA World's Heavyweight Champion. He's none other than Tyrus. Tyrus, welcome back. How are you doing today, sir?
What it is, man. Always a pleasure.
So what is going on in your world? I know a lot of big things happening with the NWA and NWA 312 coming up on pay-per-view on April 7th.
Well, I guess it's next man up, and this time it's Chris Adonis. So I'm just coming off a successful title defense in Mexico. Hopefully Dagger gets well soon. He's the second opponent that I've faced that's ended up being escorted out in a wheelchair. So it's a tough game that we're in. But Mims, when I defended the World Television title, ended up that like that. And then Dagger, but hopefully he gets well soon. And I told him, him and AAA, that if he wants a rematch anytime, he's welcome to have it. But that's on to the next one. And Chris has been—he's been barking pretty loud. Apparently, I'm his chance of redemption. He's gonna make all his demons go away if he could beat me. But I don't think he's really thought it through.
Yeah, he won the contendership. He's the number one contender. Like you said, next man up in Chicago. It's going to be big. Billy Corgan's hometown. Any shot for Adonis here? I don't know. Do you think he's got any shot?
Here's the thing. I was just being real. I was shocked that he was able to get by Trevor. I thought it was going to be, honestly, I was anticipating most likely it was going to be a rematch with Trevor Murdoch going into the Chicago pay-per-view. But watching their match, just one of those things where opportunity, Trevor made a mistake, which he rarely does in the ring, and Adonis capitalized, and he was able to get that master lock on him. And that's his thing. Chris, he's been doing this for a long time, and And he's always kind of around the title picture. He's always in the top five or top 10 of any, you know, in NWA. He's kind of been he's been around there. He's had an opportunity before. It didn't quite work out for him. But I'm all for it, of the spirit of competition. Him and I go way back. We actually worked together bouncing clubs in L.A. before both of our times in the WWE. So we're no strangers to each other. He's stayed at my house. He's him and I have traveled on the road together. So we're no strangers to each other. But it's funny when you reach the level of success that I've had, not just as holding this 12 pounds of gold, just, you know, in TV and my stand-up comedy shows and just in my book and all that kind of stuff. It's amazing the people that suddenly have to remind you that they're somebody's and that they want their opportunity. So Chris has made it known. He's been doing little interviews. I think this started with that Chris Van Vliet guy. You know, that's his little buddy who was kind of politicking on the internet for him to get a title shot. So things fell into place for him. And, you know, me personally, I just hope he's got a solid plan B, because I'm sitting at the top of the mountain and I'm comfortable. You know, I'm just at a level right now where I'm not, as long as I'm doing what I need to do and I'm going forward, I honestly don't think there's anyone that you can put in front of me that's going to be able to stand toe to toe with me. And that's the thing about Masters. He's a power guy. Well, I've been in the gym with him. We've hang and banged together. We've been in Golds in Venice. And when I get to my reps, he's got to go somewhere else. So, you know, he likes to stand a foot in front of the mirror and do his little curls and sit down. So physically, he's not going to be able to dominate me or move me around. So that's a big part of his game. So we'll see if he's able to adapt. Like, I had to adapt wrestling Scion, who was extremely quick and surprisingly strong. He had to make moves whenever I was in there with an EC3. Even Trevor, because Trevor is not just deceptively strong, he's an established grappler. So, you know, I had to slim down for Trevor so I could be able to move around more and not be so plotty. So styles make fights, and I think that Adonis is tailor-made for me just because his whole game is power, and he's not going to be able to move me around. And I'm going to be able to T-bone him from one side of the ring to the other as many times as I want to. So I feel like I'm definitely the favorite going into this. And but it's going to, like I said, we'll see what happens when the bell rings. But I'm 100% focused, and I'm actually excited to put my hands on him too. Because here's the thing. You really don't know what you're going to do until you hit rock bottom. And I don't even use that move, but I might have to in this one. So once he's hit rock bottom, we're going to see what he's really made of. I don't think he's ever been truly at rock bottom in wrestling. I think he's always kind of been in the conversation, and we'll see what he's going to do the day after the pay-per-view, because I'm walking in with my 12 pounds and I'm walking out with my 12 pounds, and he's going to have to do some reflecting. And you know, I wish him well with that, because like I said, I want everyone to be successful, but the NWA is got a lot of buzz going around it. And the reason for that buzz is the man who's sitting on top of the mountain, and that is me. And I have no intention of giving up my seat anytime soon.
Got to mention, of course, go to NationalWrestlingAlliance.com for all the information. Go to Fight, of course, Fight TV for all the information on getting the pay-per-view. And, of course, National Wrestling Alliance for the tickets. This feels like, you know, Studio One, Chicago, Illinois, heavyweight title fight. Like you said, obviously, you're a super heavyweight. He's a heavyweight. This is kind of an old school, two big guys going at it. Heavyweight title fight kind of feel to it.
Yeah, I'd be like, you know, Billy Jack Haynes, Big John Studd, that kind of a thing, Hercules Bundy, that kind of a Orndorff Hogan, you know, that kind of a battle, I believe. We don't have, you know, it's funny, because the one thing about the NWA that's different than everyone else's, our roster is a big, big roster. Our guys are big, physical. Thus our matches are that way. And I think that's what makes us different than all the other brands. You're not going to see, there won't be very many head scissor takeovers or planches or, you know, 7,000, off the top rope moves that aren't strong enough to put a guy down. With us, you make a slip, it's one move and it's good night. So, whether this thing's going to go 3 minutes or whether it's going to go, you know, 30 minutes. Well, that's going to be we'll have to see. But both guys are capable of putting somebody out in one shot. The only thing for him is I don't think he's big enough to get me in the master lock. These shoulders, this is the biggest traps in wrestling. He's not going to be able to get – I don't think he's going to be able to get him on him. So I hope he's got something else. Because, again, the worst part of going to rock bottom is not just being on rock bottom, is also knowing that your signature move was not good enough to get the job done. So I hope he's got therapy in place, good, solid friends around him to help him through this tough time he's getting ready to endure. Because here's the thing about – and I know this better than anyone – taking risks – putting it all on the line and seeking, quote, redemption. The other side of it is you got a long, cold stare in the mirror. And I've been there. So if you need any tips afterwards, just give me a shout. But this is definitely not going to go your way, Chris. You should probably rethink this. But his contract is signed. We're ready to go. You know, and like I said, he's got his little fan club. I think that Chris Van Vliet guy keeps having on some little interviews and stuff. So if you want to put him in your corner so you can be right there to interview you when it's over, you know, after you get beat, he can ask you what you're going to do next, and the two of you can sit around and have a good cry together. I'm all for that. Hell, I'll buy the plane ticket. So, like I said, I'm extremely confident and excited, and can't wait to put hands on him.
What's it like being on top of the mountain? A lot of pressure on top of the mountain carrying the NWA? What's it like?
You know what? I think the pressure of being a guy that was supposed to be on the mountain was more. Getting there, the biggest thing that I noticed, Dusty always would talk about the hardest thing is staying champion and remembering why you weren't champion. So for me, the work started once I became champion, you know, so getting past guys like Matt Cardona, who's arguably, you know, no argument, the king of the Indies, you know, and our match was so physical that he's still kind of beat up and he keeps getting and hurt. And I'm in large part responsible for that type of physical match. So I take each one personally. I take each one when each guy's trying to take something from me. And it never sits well with me. So it doesn't matter if it's my brother, my best friend, the guy who stole my girlfriend in the third grade. I'm going to treat them with the same animosity because that's, to me, was always told that as soon as you take your foot off the gas, someone's going to pass you by. So luckily for me, I had a lot of wisdom that I retained and paid attention to. The answers to this sport is in the old stuff, you know, and I probably have more film study than everybody. And I spent more time picking brains of the greats like Sergeant Slaughter, Arn Anderson, Dusty Rhodes, and Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, Dean Malenko. Like, there was nobody that was not safe. Even the great Howard Finkel, I'd have to sit him down and make him tell me stories of Andre the Giant, you know, King Haku. It didn't matter. Anytime I found a legend, you know, all my time with being under the tutelage of the great Austin, you know, and Austin Idol. So, you know, he would and you ask those questions and you ask them, you know, what was the toughest part? And the toughest part was maintaining. And that's literally my catchphrase. When you ask me how I'm doing, I'm maintaining. And I'm going to continue to maintain at a high level. And I'm going to hold this for as long as I want to. And, you know, because I'm also no fool. I know that my clock is ticking. And so I got to go all out, or as they say, old school, full regalia. In this next year and a half as champion. And then I'm going to have to make some decisions at the end of that. So, but until then. It's not done yet. I'm still in my prime, and I'm looking forward to dominate Adonis. And if he wants to bring his little buddy Chris, so they can have a little internet interview afterwards, I'm all for it.
You mentioned Dusty, of course, former NWA World Champion, obviously a big mentor to you for sure. The lineage, the legacy, of the NWA, a lot of that has to do with Dusty. What's your thoughts on being a part of that lineage and that legacy of being an NWA champion, you know, with Dusty and Harley and Rick and the Funks and all those guys?
For me, you know, unless I forget Steamboat too, Steamboat's another, one of my favorite human beings on the planet. And I learned a lot from him. Gear change, was something that he was adamant about, you know, just picking it up, you know, trick the other guy. But to be able to, like I said, my last, meaningful conversation with Dusty was about painting my canvas. It was the day before I was let go from the WWE. Pretty sure he knew I was done. But Dusty, instead of putting me in anxiety or telling me, hey, you know, this is going to happen tomorrow, he gave me what is best described as I came in to roll around. You know, when you're coming into the training facility and you're a veteran to roll around and stuff, you know, you're not in the best of good graces, right? So I hadn't been booked on the road and stuff and vamp and all that stuff. So and, I didn't want to get rusty. So I went to school to roll around with a couple of the young guys, but the young guys weren't there. Instead, it was Dusty. And he had everybody out of the gym, and he had he was playing Neil Diamond at the top of as loud as the arena could play it, the facility in Orlando. And, we sat in the ring together. So he said, "You got to paint yours." He's like, "I don't know what your canvas is, but what do you need to? You need to be great. And even if it's not on these walls, you got to show everybody you're great." I was great because it didn't matter where I was. I made everybody hear me, and you need to let the world hear you. And I took that to heart. So not only did I do that on the mainstream stage, I did it in the wrestling world. So now when my time in the ring is over, that I will be on the same list as my mentor. It means it's tremendous for me. And I think if you look at Dusty's legacy right now, Roman Reigns spent a lot of time under that wing. And then you have the, you know, Dustin Rhodes, you know, he is what he is. He has a tremendous school. He's a staple at AEW, and he's literally one bulldog away from being a world champion. I would look at some point be defending this championship against him. It would be cool to know how things work with different promotions and whatnot. And I got to focus on Adonis anyways. But and then, of course, Cody. You know, I could not be excited. There was a time, because my nickname for Cody is me and Commodore. And there was a thing where they were doing like an old school Survivor Series. Like they just took, it was like a WWE internet thing where they were like putting teams together. And Cody and I were on Triple H. And it was us, Wade Barrett, Awesome Kong. And Commodore made a joke and he's like, "We're all together now, baby." And he was like, "Now we'll be punished for it." So the close there, Cody used to tease me about Dusty would always be like making arguments about me in meetings and stuff like that. And even Gerald Briscoe, when I did his show, he talked about Dusty always talking about me. So I think he'd be extremely proud right now if he would look where his leg is and literally new face of the pulse of wrestling. Dusty Rhodes is alive and well, and I'm not going to be the one to let him down. So, you know, and I'm looking, and we'll see what happens with Cody and Roman. But no matter what, his legacy is intact. It's not just, we remember him as the great wrestler, and we should, we also remember him as the great teacher, because he was
because we're. You were cutting out. You said you also remember Dusty as the great teacher.
Yeah. And I think he doesn't get enough credit in terms as the teacher that he was. You know, he was a good booker. He was a great performer. He was a phenomenal teacher, because you look at the top guys in the sport today, and they're all have ties to the American dream. So he lives on through us. And so with that in my mind, every time I go out there, they're going to have to kill me to get this off me. So. And I just don't think Adonis is the guy to end this incredible streak I'm on. So, but we'll see, you know, but I'll be ready 110%, and I'm going to punch him dead in his chest, and we'll see what happens. We'll see what he's made of, and we definitely going to see what I'm made of. And, you know, and like I said, he can have his little buddy there to interview him as soon as it's over. And we'll take it from there and see what happens.
when you look at Dusty, like you're mentioning his legacy and stuff, man, they're mentioning him every week on TV now because of Cody, obviously, and because of Roman, and even in another program, Dustin is still wrestling. So it's crazy. His legacy is alive and well, maybe even more so than ever right now. It's great.
I think one of the things that Dusty used to tell me whenever something wasn't going my way, and the business of the sport that we're in, sometimes it doesn't make sense or there's no rhyme or reason. And he would always tell me, look, you are mine and you're going to pay for my sins. But here's the thing. We make our own way. And that has always registered with me and carried with me because I have definitely made my own way. As he would. He was always a rebel. He always did it his way, and he didn't give a damn what anybody else thought about him because he knew more people loved him than hated him, so he just did his damn thing. I think when you look at the body of work of him as far as his teaching goes, the ties in the business today, sport rather, all have all their DNA of passion and fight in this sport comes from the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. So he lives on through us.
Now, you always have the 12 pounds of gold when you're on Fox and Fox News, Gutfeld, or you're doing your thing. Is that something that you always wanted to do? Did they want you to do? Did Billy want you to do it? Or is that just you being you?
No, they had no – Fox doesn't even like that. There's people at Fox that hate that I don't wear a suit. So, again, this is my – show of respect to the champions performance is me showing Dusty that I'm painting my canvas and that every wrestler that's in on this sport, just because where you are doesn't necessarily means where you are at. You know what I'm saying? Like you have aspirations to be a champion. And, you're stuck in that mid-card or things don't work out and you think that there's nothing else for you. As Dusty would say to me all the time, we are the most talented performers on the planet. We're better than a damn singer, actor, politician. We do it all, baby. And he was right. And so I wear this championship. And as long as I'm a champion, I'll wear this championship. Now, when my time as the NWA World Heavyweight Champion is up, you won't see the title anymore. Because it's not a toy, it's not like a piece of jewelry. I'm representing the wrestlers before me, the wrestlers that are coming after me, that we are the greatest entertainers, sportsmen on the planet. There's a reason why NFL players and NBA players, when they win championships, they run out and get wrestling championship belts. You don't see a wrestler win a championship and run out and get a ring. You know what I'm saying? So I wear that out of respect for Dusty and what he taught me. And wherever he is, hopefully he can see my canvas, and it's this shining in the middle of it kind of brought it all together for me. So that's why we're that championship. It's a signal to the every, and if you're out of the business or you've been let go or you've been fired and you've been futured endeavored or whatever the hell you want to call it, take it from someone who's been future endeavored at least on two occasions was allowed to get out of my contract and Impact, but we'll count that as another endeavor. You can rise above it because we are the best at what we do. And so it's a longer explanation, but there's no short version about it.
With you doing that and being on Fox, number one late night show when you're on Gutfeld, I mean, it's being seen by tens of millions of people. If you add up to, especially if you're on for the whole week and you add it all up, I mean, it's up there in the tens of millions. So, I mean, that's pretty good just for some eyeballs onto the NWA and the NWA title and to you because so many people are watching you on Fox and Fox News.
Yeah, more people see the NWA championship each week than they do the WWE. So, but again, because I am the champion, and I take a lot of pride in that, you know. And it was the same thing when I was World Television Champion, you know. And that was, again, for the guys before me, the Arn Andersons, the Sting, the Stunning Steve Austins, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, Mike Rotundo, all the greats that held the World Television Championship. It's out of respect for those before me, and again for those after me, you know. And Thomas Latimer is the World Television Champion right now. You know, Scion is the champion. So I got those two are in the back of my mind. When are they going to cash in or reach their title, amount of title defense or whatever. So the stage is set, and it's a good time to be in the NWA. It's a great time to be in the sport of wrestling that I love and will always love, even after my time in the ring is done. It's a positive, fun thing to be a part of. 110% of my body, and will listen to my body and my people. But I'm not even thinking about that right now.
When you won the title at NWA Hard Times, what was the thought probably going through your head? Like, I finally made it, because you mentioned being endeavored a few times, and you know, who knows what he's going to do after Impact, and then you know, you're popping up on Fox, you become a huge kind of household name, you're kind of killing it on the late night circuit. Well, not kind of, you're definitely killing the late night circuit. What was that like? You made it. Hard Times, even is a dusty ism, if you will. So was that like, what was the thought process? What mentally were you going through in your head at that point?
I think the pressure was definitely on. Because coming back to the NWA, because I wasn't ready to be finished in wrestling, I took some time off. And it was either I'm going all out, or I'm done. And, winning the television championship from Pope really changed my attitude and demeanor. Once I captured the television championship, I thought I would be content to be I was the world television champion and defend it for as long as I want to. And then eventually when it's done, but the funny thing about winning championships, you then soon realize there's only one, and you want to be the guy, and to be the guy, you have to win 12 pounds of gold. So my mind was set. I made my intentions made, because a lot of times I kind of had that Andre the Giant mentality where I didn't need a championship to be great. And it was about just the love of the sport and to wrestle. And I wasn't focused on necessarily being a champion with all the requirements and interviews and political stuff. And you got to get along with the promoters. And I didn't always like to do that stuff. You know, I'm more of I hang out in the locker room with the guys, and I'd rather play cards and dominoes or crack jokes all day than, you know, sit around and rub elbows with the top brass or whatever you want to call it. It's just not my thing. And I understand it's part of the game, you know, but once that fire was lit and I captured that world television championship, I figured let's go all out, you know, and was able to, once I captured this, I understood that my mentality wasn't always the right place, because there's nothing better than being world champ, nothing. And so I understand. And I think I embraced the pressure. If I went out there and I gave 110% and pushed Matt and Trevor to limit, and I still wasn't able to get it done, I don't think I would have had any regrets, and probably would have retired. Because if you can't win the big one, and Adonis, you need to listen to this part. If you can't win the big one, then chances are you should probably think about moving on. Just putting it out there. And here's the thing. You could be the co-host with your little buddy Chris Van Vliet. You know, and you could have the Chris and Chris show, you know, CNC Boring Factory. And you guys could interview other people being successful all the time, just together, like the cool buddy movie that no one watched. So, yeah, I'll leave it with that.
I like that. CNC, the Boring Factory. I like that. Yeah, that's not bad. It's pretty good. You're pretty creative. Yeah. I wanted to mention, though,
I'm pretty good at throwing this here or there. Yes, sir? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Oh, I would say I wanted to mention your live shows, because I went to look to see if the tickets were available back in February when you were doing the one in Wayne, New Jersey. Sold out. What's going on with these live shows? They seem to be selling out rather quickly for you.
The stand-up comedy shows, they're across the country, and we sell out. I sell out pretty quick, and it's a stand-up show. It's not a wrestling show. It's not a Fox News show. And like enjoyed the CNC Boring Factory. It's an hour and 15 minutes of basically. I tell a lot of jokes on Gutfeld. on the Gutfeld show. But again, it's I answer four. Basically, if you break down a 40-minute TV show, I answer about five questions each show and for about a minute and a half. And a lot of the jokes and stuff and the timing and this comedy's always kind of, I've always been a class clown and backstage, and I've done some comedies, and I did a great film with John Snyder called Stand On It, where I really was, lo and behold, the opportunity came, and my wife wanted to start booking venues, and I said, go ahead, you do it. I was watching the Bucks play, and because, you know, I'm a Brady fan till the end. Grow, and people love the shows, and I get great reviews, and I even had a critic shows, and they really seem to like it. So I'm going to keep doing it, and it's just building my life after being in the squared circle, because you know, you can't wrestle forever, with the exception of Ric Flair. The rest of us got to move on, and you know, so this is just setting up my life as much as it did, and we're in time.
Sorry, you cut out as you were finishing up talking about the live shows.
Yeah, so I mean, basically, the live shows have been just shocking. We're selling out in every city. People, you know, and we're doing anything from, I think, the smallest arenas. I do. I like the old school comedy theaters, you know, because I'm an old soul at heart. But we do on average about 450 to 600. And a lot of times we do two nights, so because they sell out so quick. So it's a good challenge, and we're growing, getting bigger. And I think I mentioned that we're my special is going to get picked up on a streaming services. I've been just doing the house shows, get it fine tuned and ready to go. It's all connected, man. It's all connected. Storytelling in the ring, storytelling on stage. If you get them to quote pop, laugh, enjoy, clap, scream, boo, whatever the hell puppet string I'm pulling on the audience that night, they all kind of together. And this, like I said, it's just a culmination of putting it all together, doing everything that I wanted to do as a kid when I was like, I want to grow up. I want to be a comedian. I want to be a wrestler. I want to be on TV, all that stuff. And I'm able to fulfill that through a lot of hard work, a lot of failure, a ton of failure. Three firings, one release, and never allowed the opinion of one person to dictate my destiny. And that's really my message to the guys out there. Love me or hate me, or don't like the fact that I'm on a, you know, show that you politically don't agree with. That gives zero blanks on that. It's about being able to be successful and entertain people at a high level, which is what I've been able to do. And I'm going to continue to do until the laughs stop, the cheers stop, the boos stop, and then it's time for you to get out. And you do that, you work your ass off, Mr. No Days Off, sorry Fred, until you get yourself positioned where you can walk away from the thing. And I got a big plot of land in Montana to enjoy my retirement when that time comes. So work now, rest later, and represent at a high level. And that's basically what my goal has been and what I'll continue to do. So, sorry, Adonis, it's just not your time.
4-7, April 7th in Chicago, Illinois at Studio One. Go to NationalWrestlingAlliance.com for more ticket information. Of course, go to Fight TV for more pay-per-view information. The main event, NWA World Heavyweight Championship, Tyrus defending the 12 pounds of gold against Chris Adonis. Before we let you go, give us one last push where everybody can find you, and even more so NWA and anything else you got going on.
Okay, I'd be remiss if I didn't say I'm doing a special charity event book signing at Billy Corgan's and his wife's aunt, and on Thursday the 6th with the Great Medusa. And there's tickets available for that also. And it's a book signing, autographs, pictures, Q&A, all that good stuff. It's a really good cause. And you can also, I believe you can get that on the NWA website. And for social media, I only have two. Only two. There's no, there ain't no Snapchat. There's no TikTok. None of that stuff. They're both verified. It's Planet Tyrus on Twitter, and it's Tyrus Smash on Instagram. They're both verified. There's no other substitutes or imitate. That's it. It's the only way to get me. And, of course, you hit my link tree on my bio on either of those. Get tickets for my lives. You can always catch me on Fox News, pretty Newsday, through Friday on the Gutfeld Show, America's Newsroom, The Five, Falker Focus, you name it, I'll be on it. And then, of course, the NWA, Power every Tuesday. So I'm everywhere I possibly can be, and those where you can find me and reach me and support. But like I said, it's going to be a great time in Chicago. I'm going to be there on the 6th, and with Medusa launching, kicking off her new book, and talking about her life experiences. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I encourage everyone to come check it out.
Awesome. Tyrus, the NWA World Champion, thank you so much for coming on. Appreciate it all the time.
Thank you, man. Anytime.
This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You can check us out on Facebook. You can subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em slip, get every pick right, and take home some cold hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.